This is the State of Things from Triad Stage in Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. The science professionals who are paid to be our state's environmental watchdogs keep quitting their jobs. They say it's impossible to do work under Governor McCrory's administration and the Republican-led legislature. My guest today recently wrote about this attrition and what it means for the quality of North Carolina's air, land, and water. Susan Ladd is a columnist with the Greensboro News and Record. Welcome back, Susan. Always good to have you here.
Nice to be here, Frank.
So the latest to resign from her position was state epidemiologist Megan Davies, most recent person to quit. We had her on the show last week, but remind us what that story was all about.
Well, she supervises Ken Rudo, who is a state toxicologist and has been in that position for 30 years. He testified that he was pressured to change drinking water. There were warnings. And that McCrory was a part of that conversation, and he refused to sign because he felt like it misled the public. He was subsequently attacked by McCrory and a couple of other top officials in the McCrory administration who essentially called him a liar, if I'm not mistaken, and questioned his scientific credentials or his, said that he was sort of an outlier in terms of his opinion about the safety of the drinking water.
And, of course, what Megan Davies has said in resigning is that the administration, the McCrory administration, is misleading the public.
Yes.
In fact, it was done through a long process, through DEQ, with many scientists involved, a vetting process according to the law passed by the legislature, then vetted in DEQ by many scientists, and ultimately CDC in Atlanta. They came back and said, yeah, that's the right process, and the warnings are appropriate. But it was the attack by the appointed officials. And I think this is another part. We'll get to some of the attrition. Maybe we should do that first, because her departure made headlines, but it's really not the only one. Tell us more.
Not at all. It really started when McCrory took office and appointed John Scavarla, a climate change skeptic, to lead the agency. There was a lot of discomfort within the agency, and within a year, there were two pretty significant resignations. Susan Wilson, who was a water quality regulator in the Asheville area, resigned basically protesting, among other things, this mission statement that they were in the business of customer service, which she called inappropriate, and some of the changes that were being made. She basically said, I can't do my job. Within a month or two, Amy Adams, who was a regional director, also resigned and joined the environmental watchdog group Appalachian Voices. Essentially, these people are saying, I can't do my job.
And those were state employees, but also in July 25th, Stan Riggs, who is the founder of the North Carolina Coastal Resources Commission. This is a scientific panel that is an advisory group. Mm-hmm. He resigned over, again, part of the same thing, saying that the commission's advice had gone ignored, and in fact, they could no longer have any influence at all in state policy.
Yeah, they feel like they're talking to themselves. And I thought his description of that was very good, because he talked about the drip, drip, drip of laws that have been passed in the past 6 years that have just slowly dismantled environmental regulations and sort of given an all clear to polluters.
Part of that is some structural changes within the department. Jobs that used to be career jobs that would be not affected by political appointments, held by scientists, have become political when the legislature took over and in the McCrory administration. So the GOP made some changes to how the department is structured.
Yes. And the staff has been cut by more than 200 jobs, more than 200 positions since, I think, 2011. And the budget for the agency has been cut by 40%. So, I mean, that clearly translates into, fewer inspections, fewer prosecutions, and so damage to the state's air and water going unchecked.
Far fewer citations for any kind of violations. So one of the bigger changes was this mission statement. The Department of Environment and Natural Resources changed first its name to the Department of Environmental Quality, but then this new mission, this kind of customer service mission.
Yeah, this was very troubling. This was the first thing that really raised eyebrows, and it was a pretty immediate change with the McCrory administration and the hiring of John Scavarla. And it basically said that they would consider all scientific viewpoints, the diversity of viewpoints in science, and that their mission was customer service. And who those customers are has become clearly obvious. It's more, you know, they're satisfying industry and not
Well, that is the question, because customer service, of course, you always want to keep the customer satisfied, but then again, who's the customer? And if we look at now legislation, go from the executive branch to the legislative branch, some of the changes and the ways in which regulations have been relaxed for big industry, and particularly the polluting industries. I know Senator Trudy Wade from right here in Guilford County sponsored a state version of a bill that, and tell us about that, that really helped the waste industry.
Yeah, this was pretty disturbing. Instead of it eased the regulations, a number of regulations on landfills and the waste industry, one of which was instead of leak-proof trucks, they could have leak-resistant trucks, which means that garbage trucks are, you know, the liquid that accumulates in those trucks is getting, you know, dripped out in our neighborhoods where our kids play in our, you know, I think lots of people find that not to be a great.
Right. And so then again, this question over which customers, because we've seen in the protests now that have followed the revelations that the McCrory administration pressured the science officials and the professionals in DEQ to water down the warnings, the protests now, you know, there are a lot of people who could be considered customers drinking what might be unsafe water. And the agent that we're talking about, the chemical, this is the Aaron Brockovich agent,
it is.
Right?
This is the one that spurred Aaron Brockovich, who is a real person, not just a movie, to go and launch this major investigation where people's drinking water was being poisoned. Now, granted, in quantities much larger than we're talking about that are going on here, but this is chromium 6. It's hexavalent chromium, and she has now, as of I think yesterday, she sent a letter to the EPA again urging them to update their standards for, you know, what is the acceptable level in drinking water. There's the federal guidelines on this are 25 years old. And so, and she cited what's going on in North Carolina right now as one of the reasons why it's so important that the EPA step in and set modern acceptable levels.
So what the McCrory administration is saying is, look, we need to encourage industry. If we want to build jobs and bring jobs to North Carolina, we need to deregulate a little bit and make this an industry-friendly state, and therefore we can increase jobs. But you point out that there's a whole other industry in which regulation is going up and would also be a jobs industry.
Indeed. It depends on which industry you're talking about. The legislation that has been proposed in the last 2 years regulating solar farms and wind farms, any clean energy sources, have been just stunning. The latest was requiring all solar farms to get a state permit. The state would have the final word. And the setback requirements that were proposed and did not pass, but the proposal was that solar and wind farms would have to have a 1.5 mile setback. And compare that to the requirements for a hog waste lagoon is 500 feet, 650 feet for a fracking facility. So you only have to build a hog waste lagoon 500 feet from somebody's house. But they would suggest that wind and solar farms need a 1.5 mile setback.
Interesting stuff. Yesterday now, Mike Hager announced his resignation as the House Majority Leader. I wonder if that has any impact on the environmental picture.
Well, it's good news for anybody who likes the clean energy, because Mike Hager has been, he is also a former employee of Duke. He's a former Duke energy engineer, and he has been leading the battle to do away with the Renewable Energy Portfolio Standard, which is what has prompted the huge growth of the solar industry in the state. This is a growing industry that's bringing jobs and revenue to the state. I think we are the fourth nationally in solar capacity now, largely because of this energy standard, which requires energy companies to get a certain percentage of their energy from renewable sources. And so it opened the door for solar and wind and all this type of stuff. Hager has been trying to get rid of the Renewable Energy Portfolio Standard since he joined the legislature.
Well, the argument is, look, it is doing well. You just cited the statistics, so now it's time to let it go on its own and compete with everybody else.
Yeah. I don't agree that that's true. And people like to say, well, that we don't pick winners and losers. They've clearly been picking the winner, and the winner is Big Energy. One of the things that disturbs me so much about, you know, the conversation over the chromium in the water is that when fracking comes, people won't even have the ability. They will have a much diminished ability to cite pollution in their water because the legislature has kept secret. They passed a law that said all chemicals used in fracking are secret. Well, that's a problem if you're trying to decide, you know, how your water got polluted if you don't know what chemicals are being used in the fracking facility that is 650 feet from your house.
Susan Ladd, always good to talk with you, columnist with the Greensboro News and Record. Thank you for being on the program. We've got a link to her column and other information at our website, stateofthings.org. We're going to listen to the music of Greensboro-based musician Andy Eversole in a minute. And again, at the end of our program, you're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Andy.